far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, the hosts spend their Halloweens at their local cons with Kamikaze and Banzai Con.
Working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. To my love Notari in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to catch a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. In the chat that Cloud posted about the Steven Universe people?
Or just how crazy Tumblr people are?
Yeah. But that comment that said, you're the reason we didn't have a black president until fucking 2008. You're as fucking... And as fucking soon as POC and LGBTQ... communities are represented positively, you have to come and turn each one of those characters into fucking racial caricatures straight out of the 1920s. Honestly, you deserve to die. Your art is fucking shit too. Like, this is the ultimate SJW comment. It's like littered with profanity and acronyms, you know? And accusations of oppressiveness. And
yeah.
Everything about it is ridiculous.
It's just funny how, like, this person is accusing this Tumblr person of, like, they're accusing them of being an attention whore, but really, like, when you write a comment like that, you're definitely drawing attention to yourself. You're worse than the person that you're accusing.
They actually said, you're the reason blacks are being gunned down in the streets. What does that even mean? Are they referring to, like...
What does
that
have to do with Steven Universe fan art?
Are they referring to, like, police killing black people or something? Like, in a lot of those cases, it's just media hyped up, you know, they'll take some out of context video or something. It has nothing to do with some police art. Police officer saw some Steven Universe art. It's more like the black person had just robbed a store or something, or, you know, like, it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with Steven Universe art. It's just totally ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm trying to save this as a JPEG, and it won't even, like, save as a JPEG. I'll just leave the window up so at least I know about it. Yeah, it's funny because, like, I just did on this past Thursday, like, a presentation on Tumblr for my social media class, and this was kind of one of the examples. I had to basically water it down so much to not make Tumblr, like, the worst social media platform on the planet.
Well, it is.
Yeah, in terms of, like, I think I looked at the policy, and it's like, hey, we accept people for who they are, and I'm like, and they don't really police anything, which is kind of, this is a prime example of that. So I'm like, yeah, this is kind of works as a double-edged sword, where it's like, we approve people, but then there's no one there to hold them against their actions. When people try to do that in police, you have the social justice warriors, which they also need to be police on how to treat other people with respect, even if they disagree with them.
So, in Tumblr, is it impossible to get banned?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't know, but, like, the only thing I mentioned was, like, how DashCon was a disaster and how Tumblr has been, people have used it to use it as suicide notes when they commit suicide, and how, like, Tumblr does a bad job of trying to stop that or even be noticed of that.
I mean, like, in this case, this person posted a suicide-related comment saying something like, all the social justice warriors leaving hateful comments have led me to check myself into a hospital to make sure I don't kill myself or something. And then these people are like, why'd you do that? Why didn't you just kill yourself? Like, so they're actively supporting suicide on this site to get rid of anyone who disagrees with them.
Part of Tumblr's policy is the fact that they support people being anonymous users or having anonymity on there, which is like part of my double-edged sword, where it's like, okay, yeah, you know, they can use that to avoid harassment, but at the same time they use it to give harassment without any repercussion or consequences on both sides, and this is a prime example of that. Yeah, there's a name there, but like, it's just a made-up name. There's really, like, there's no solid identity in that.
Yeah, or if they put an identity, it'll be, like, their age and then 15 different acronyms describing their gender and racial identity and all sorts of other things like that, but they won't put their actual name usually on there.
Nah.
But it's just, even, you know, even 4chan has some limits, you know, like some people do get banned on there, like NIV, mm-hmm. which is good because no one wants him on their website.
Well, no one wants episode screen caps and synopsis of Nick, like Disney Channel teen shows or preteen shows.
Well, he kept encoding them and uploading like mega upload links to the files or whatever, and nobody wanted those spamming the whole TV board. So he got banned from there for that. And then he kept coming back via proxies. And then he ended up rage quitting the site because he deemed it to be insufficiently pro-Gamergate. Because I guess they started banning some of the people who would post on there about you know,
supporting Gamergate?
Yeah. Because he thought the mods were secretly leftist social justice warriors or something like that. There's, like, they used to ban people who would talk about My Little Pony, although I think there's not, like, a board about that. But, yeah, I mean, some of these rules are necessary because
you have to, air quote, corral them into one section of 4chan.
At least that'll keep them off the other boards, I guess.
Yeah, pun intended, too.
I saw some, to get to the main topic of the episode, I saw some brony hat at, like, the Kamikaze event that I went to this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
There was, like, a My Little Pony booth, and this guy had, like, this ridiculous-looking, like, unicorn plushie on his head or something.
Ah, you have to tell me all about that. All right, well, let's go ahead and do introductions.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. I am one of your hosts, Dustin, and with me is my co-host, John.
Yep.
And we went to some conventions this weekend. You actually spent more time at a convention than I did. So I went to Banzai Con in Columbia, South Carolina. And where did you go?
Kamikaze in Los Angeles.
All
right. Which is run by Stan Lee, but I did not actually see Stan Lee there.
Dadgummit! Like, that man doesn't have any more, like, solid mortal years left on this planet.
Yeah. I mean, I was hoping I would see him, but the closest I came was I found some guy who was selling tickets to see Stan Lee. So I guess you have to pay to just get into the room where he is, which is in like some other auditorium, because there's like two buildings where this is being held in, and I didn't know where the other one was. And by the time I got there, the ticket, you know, were for a time that had already passed because he was there at like 10 a.m. and I didn't get there till noon.
Oh.
So,
wait, so did you and your dad go to this?
Yeah, we left on Saturday morning at like 6 o'clock and drove to about noon. Is there about 3 or 4 hours and just checked out all the comic booths, bought a bunch of old comic books. And then we drove to like halfway back home that night and then stayed in Motel 6 and then drove the rest of the way back this morning.
Oh, okay.
But we got some exhibitor passes to get in from this comic book guy that we've shopped from here. He has like garage sales where he sells comic books for cheap, and now he's opening a warehouse. And since we bought from him a few times, he gave us these exhibitor passes to get in for free.
Yeah.
So we bought some stuff from him and from some other people. And he's like opening a warehouse in a couple of weeks where he will be checking that out before long too. But it's called Monster Comic Books, just to promote this guy's business here.
And, Monster Comic Books. Get all your Monster Comics in wherever the heck part of Arizona this is at.
Yeah, I think the warehouse is in Tempe or Phoenix. I'm not sure where exactly. I haven't been there yet, but
Okay.
There'll probably be a link on his website or whatever once it opens.
Okay. Hopefully it'll open by the time I put up this episode.
He said it's opening in 2 weeks. So, like, mid-November, I guess.
Okay. I mean, what else did you happen to do at the convention? You kind of already started talking about it.
Yeah, well, there was, the closest I found to Stan Lee was a statue of Stan Lee, which, was like a, kind of a huge bobblehead kind of thing. And,
okay.
And there were also some of, Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy, and I guess Chewbacca, because they're doing a Star Wars movie in next month.
Okay, so when you go into the bobblehead of Stan Lee, did it like say Excelsior a lot or something?
Well, it was just it didn't speak or anything. It was just a big like bobblehead kind of statue, and it was promoting something called Stan Lee's Hero Command Excelsior. Which is, I guess, an iPhone and Android game.
Oh, okay.
And it says free to play, download today. I've got this flyer for it that the guy next to the statue gave to me. I have not actually downloaded it, but maybe I will, I don't know.
You might as well try it out, even if it's a terrible app. I mean,
yeah, it is free, so
yeah,
nothing to lose except for some space on the phone.
Well, you get what you pay for, so there's that too.
Yeah, it looks like it's some sort of, you know, a superhero fighting game or something. There's someone with like an energy beam, someone with a hammer, someone with some like billy clubs or whatever. Someone with a sword. So I guess it's some sort of, you know, superhero fighting kind of game. But it's all kind of like, you know, chibi or bobblehead or whatever you want to call it, where, you know, super deformed. And he did have a panel there, but Stan Lee, but it was on Friday, like his main panel, Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
So I was not there, and then there were some other panels that he was doing, you know, at the other building on this game, Hero Command, and I think there was one on something else that he was holding today, but I can't remember what.
Oh, okay.
But this is the con that he runs, so there was his image and, like, shops that he owned were selling comics in there. There's one called Stan Lee's Mega Museum or something like that. It had a lot of CGC comic books, you know, sealed up and graded, like rare issues that he had written and other people had written for Marvel after he became editor-in-chief and stopped writing comics mostly.
Oh, wow.
And they were pretty expensive, though. I certainly didn't get anything at that booth. It was all stuff that was in the hundreds of dollars and that sort of thing. I think the most expensive one in there was $1,500. I can't remember how much it... I mean, I can't remember which comic it was. It might have been, like, the first Avengers or something like that. But there were definitely some really overpriced comics in there. Some very well-priced comics. I found one booth that was selling 50-cent comic books, and they had a lot of stuff that I wanted, so I bought like 60 comics there. And
so the math turns out to be like about $30, right?
Right. But these were comics that were being sold earlier at the con, and another booth. Most of them were there as well, and they wanted $5 per comic at that one, so you really have to, like, look around for places with better pricing, because you can see a huge variety. Like, the first booth I went in, actually, there were a lot of really overpriced first issues again, which seems to be a common thing. And there was a first issue of Legion of Superheroes from 1984. They wanted $250 for it. And then they, like, two or three booths later, I found it again for $3. And it didn't look noticeably worse condition. I paid probably $1 or $2 for it a few years back. So it's kind of insane what people think they can con others into paying just because there's a number one on a cover. And they must work on somebody for these guys to do this, so many people to do this at so many conventions. Because I see people way overcharging all the time at conventions. But you can find some real bargains, too.
I guess in a way, I wish I could say that about, like, retro gaming collecting, because that's, like, one... I mean, in terms of media, like I'm more familiar with, like, what game video games cost now, and, like, DVDs, or maybe, like, I used to be, but maybe not so much now, but, like, you've got, like, some people selling video games in, like, a, you know, like, at a con or something, like, for an example, like, Animasement when I go to there, and depending on, like, I think now it's between, like, my friend's booth and, like, another other people that go there that sell video games, and... Pretty much that's, like, the only, like, competition there, because there used to be a company or a guy running it from New York called Video Games New York, and he overcharged on, like, everything, like, domestic and import games, especially import games, because it's, like, that mindset of, like, the early 2000s and the 90s, like, anything from Japan is, like, three times more than it is, when it's completely bullcrap, because, you know, eBay's kind of have, like, a fair pricing, and if you want to compete and try to get any money for what you got, then you need to do eBay prices or whatever. But, like, I think mostly for video game retro gaming collection, it's like, or collecting, it's pretty much whatever the guy's selling at one booth and they have in another booth, it's probably going to be about the same price. But one of them's going to have to give in order to get their business from you for, like, giving you a better discount than the other guy. But in this case with comics, I mean, there's just, like, a polar opposite between, like, you found a $250 comic, you go three booths down and find the same thing, a little bit, you know, worse condition, but then it's, like, you know, a handful of dollars there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, black and white right there. I mean, like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that people do that sometimes. And especially with later comics, a lot of them, you know, they'll be said, like, to have the first appearance of Venom's arm or whatever. They had that issue at the Stan Lee booth where, you know, it's like one panel that has Venom in it or something. And so it's worth like $500, even though...
Jeez.
It's, you know, it's just ridiculous. Nobody who buys it is gonna read it at that price, you know, because you can easily buy like a reprint or something if you really want to just read that issue. But... But it's at the same time, I bought that at a local comic store for like $8, and now it goes for hundreds, because you can find this stuff usually for a good price if you look hard enough for a dealer that's not going to totally rip you off with these con prices. But it is getting harder and harder, because a lot of those guys, you know, like the guy I'm talking about specifically, only occasionally shows up at Collector's Marketplace two or three times a year, and so it's hard to buy from him anymore. There's not really very many good options in Phoenix anymore, so I wanted to go to LA and, you know, see what kind of stuff they have at this con, and there's some good stuff and some bad stuff, you know. It's just that's how these cons are, I guess.
It's interesting how, like, we both went to convention, but in terms of what was there, they're different, like, or opposite. Like, you know, you go to a comic convention, this is like a legit one where they actually sell merchandise and comic books there. So it's really kind of like a big flea market, whereas for an anime convention that I went to, it's more like media and figure plushie and fan art stuff that people can sell for however much. But, like,
there was some of that stuff too. I mean, I did.
But it's not as much as an anime convention, though. I mean, like, guess, like, people that do fan art go to comic conventions because it's a con, so people will go there if they want to buy their stuff. But, I mean, I don't expect it to be that high compared to, like, an anime con.
Yeah, I mean, there were, for anime things, there was a guy who was selling art cells for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I believe it was the OVA.
Yeah, it would be the OVA.
It was part 3 stuff, but I'm not sure if it was the anime, TV anime, or the OVA, but I'm thinking the OVA.
Okay, the people that were selling cells there, like, was it like Anime Asylum or something? Did they have a sign saying that?
I didn't catch their name, but they wanted about $50 per cell for JoJo's.
Was there an older guy that was there that had, like, white hair, but it was kind of, like, pulled back but short, and he, like, kind of talked like he was kind of part of Stoner or something?
No, that guy wasn't there. I think it was probably somebody else.
I mean, the only place I buy cells from is the people that do the Anime Asylum at Animasement, but I think they might just stick to the East Coast. I don't know, but, like, that's the guy I buy anime cells from, like, every year.
This guy had
the prices that you told me with the JoJo's, it's about what he would sell them there.
Yeah. This guy had some non-anime stuff, too. Like, he had the 80s He-Man Masters of the Universe stuff for about 25 per cell, and some Sonic the Hedgehog and Mario cartoon cells, and
Oh, this must be someone totally different then.
Yeah, and those were about 40 each. He only had one or two of those two shows, and there were like a dozen or two dozen JoJo's cells.
Okay.
But it was all like Kakyoin and the other characters from part 3, I think the designs were from the OVA, but I haven't actually seen much of either version of the part 3 anime, so okay. That's something I definitely have to get around to, but I read the manga and it's really good. I do hope that eventually JoJo's airs on Toonami, now that there's a dub for part 1 and 2.
You know, at least it'll get me into watching
part
and
2.
Recording, like, making me sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we reviewed part 1 almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I only saw the first two episodes of part 2 in Japan when I had someone tell me what was going on.
Oh.
And, yeah, Taichi was awesome, but... And since then, I haven't gotten around to, like, watching the rest of it. I think I am, but then I never do. And, like, part 3 just finished up.
Yeah.
Not that long ago.
Yeah, I think it's been 3 or 4 months now that it's been off.
Okay. But
it had, I think, 52 episodes, so longer than part 1 and part 2 combined by 2. So.
Yeah.
And then I hear that part 4 is coming, and it's even longer than part 3 is in the manga. So. It's probably going to be even more than 52 episodes unless they really condense it somehow. But that's something that people have been waiting for a while, and it's good that they're going to keep making JoJo's anime.
As long as being made, yeah.
It's crazy that they took so long to even to make anything other than the Part 3 OVA. Well, I guess there was also a movie of Part 1 that was unpopular with Araki, the creator of the manga,
okay,
who didn't allow it to be released on home video, so it was only seen by the people who saw it in theaters, and supposedly there is no camera up online or anything, so no one really.
Well, wait, when did this come out? I mean, like
10 years ago or so.
Oh, yeah, people could have cam-ripped it back then.
Yeah, I think that the Japanese theaters must have been, like, strict about letting in people with cameras, or it was only, like, a limited release or something, because there was never any camera up, as far as I can tell.
It's probably, like, somewhere held by somebody that's just, like, probably waiting for Aramaki to die. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, we can finally put this out, because he won't know about it now.
Maybe. Probably whoever made it or whatever has some copy in a vault that they're keeping.
Yeah, no doubt.
But yeah. Anyway, there were some video game booths too, and some card game booths like Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon and Magic the Gathering and that kind of thing.
Did you see anything for Y Shorts?
I did not.
Okay.
But I didn't get anything in any of those booths.
But you don't really do a lot of card games, though.
Right. I have, like, some from when I was a kid. You know, I used to collect, like, Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh cards, but I don't really anymore, very much. And, of course, we have the Super Fight cards that were sent to us.
Yeah.
And, anyway, as for the video games, they were, like, Nintendo 64 games, which are surprisingly still pretty expensive. They had, like, Mystical Ninja Goemon for $40, which I have that, and I must have bought it for that much, or only slightly more. If it was new, it would have been about 50, I think.
Yeah, and that game came out, like, 16 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Because I remember renting it from Blockbuster as a kid.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I tried playing it again the other day, but I couldn't make it very far. And I never really made it very far before either when I played it as a kid.
I got stuck in one area. I had no idea what I had to do or where to go, so then I just stopped playing it. But I know I got a few hours into it before I got to a point where, like, I don't know where to go, and I don't have a strategy guide, so...
Yeah.
Well, I'm done with this game.
I think I made it to the, like, Mount Fuji or something, and I got stuck there.
But, that's probably the same place I got stuck.
Yeah. It is a funny game, like, unique kind of art style. And it's very, very Japanese seeming. They didn't localize it very much, which is nice. And I'd like to play it again and see if I can make it very far. But I kept getting robbed when I was playing it the other day. This little bandit guy runs up to you and steals a bunch of your money. And
I think I do remember that.
You can attack him to get back some, but it's not very much that you can get back. Let's see, what else was there at the con? I guess they also had some like Pokemon Stadium, maybe. I didn't see the price on that, but
it's high, that's all I can tell you.
Yeah, probably.
Even
so.
I know that, yeah.
There was not really, I don't think there were any people selling DVDs. I didn't see any anyway.
Hmm.
There were some figures, and like they had what was it? What's he called? The Gohan after he's awakened his inner potential or whatever, Mystic Gohan, and Boo for $30, and the 2-pack from Jax. Okay. And there was some Grandizer and Getter Robo and the other kind of Shogun Warriors 2-foot vinyl figures that I have. Some of those were for sale there. And there were 100, 150, and 300. And then there was a Godzilla Shogun Warriors in the box for 500. Which I'm sure that one is in better condition than my Godzilla, who's missing a toe and the switch on the back of his head is mostly broken off. I did not have the money to buy a replacement Godzilla, so
you're better off just keeping the one that you got for now.
Yeah, I got mine for $20 in Portland when I was on vacation there with my dad because he went to a science conference and there was this. Like toy shop there that we went to, and they had that, and
nice.
Also, Mazinger Z for $20 each. So we bought those and brought them through customs, and they had to like scan them, make sure we weren't concealing a bomb inside the robot or whatever. And the TSA guy was like, "Oh, I grew up in Japan, and I watched Uru Toraman, which is how he pronounced Ultraman, I guess, because of his Japanese accent."
Oh, this guy's Japanese. Okay, that makes sense. I thought it was like a white guy saying this. I'm like, dude, it's Ultraman. You know how to say it.
Yeah. No, it was actually like a Japanese immigrant. but
oh, they're fine, man.
But that it's just funny how they how the Japanese call it Urutoraman instead of just using the Japanese word for ultra in the title. They just think English words are so cool. I don't know what the Japanese word for ultra would be, but I'm sure there is one.
Well, I mean, I thought, like, in the song of Ultraman, it was, like, it's, like, basically the kids going, Ultraman! Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. They do sometimes say it correctly.
Yeah, because it's the title of the show, so they're going to sing it in English.
Yeah. I guess that's really all for that con. I don't really remember much else. There's a lot of cosplayers. I noticed a couple of Bulmas. They're both the early Dragon Ball Bulma with the pink clothing and the blue hair and the ribbon.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, that was the first one I saw, and then I saw one like a couple hours into the event. And I also saw some Ninja Turtles, one of whom like passed out. Like as I was on the way out, they were like they just like kind of collapsed on the cement. And some people had to help them back up. I guess they had spent too much time shopping at the con and shopped till they dropped.
They partied too hard, man. They had an OD on pizza.
But I think they were okay. But at least I hope so.
Wait, were they laying on their back or were on their shell? What?
On their shell.
Yeah, or they're laying on their shell like, I can't get
up. Yeah, help, I'm a turtle and I can't get up. Like they say in the third movie.
I don't even remember. I've never fully seen that third movie from start to finish. I've seen bits and pieces of it. And, like, I'm aware of how bad it is, but I just haven't seen that entire third movie from start to finish.
I enjoy it more than Bay Turtles. At least the costumes are amusingly bad. In the Bay Turtles, the CGI turtles are just ugly.
I haven't even seen the Bay Turtles movie. And I know it's on Netflix, I just haven't really watched it, so.
That might be for the best. I mean, they're just so hideous. At least they changed the origin, because at one point they were gonna have them be aliens.
Yeah, that was the leaked script that came out, and then they had to rewrite the whole thing.
Yeah, because everybody was upset.
That delayed the movie by like a year or something.
Yeah.
A year and a half. Yeah, something ridiculous like that. I remember like the leaked script of like some of the stuff that like was written down, and I was just like, are you serious? This is what they really wrote down?
Oh, Josh read the whole thing, and he said it was really bad. I did not read it, but that's probably for the best.
I just remember him posting up things about how, like, some character was eye-raping or eye-fucking, like, April or something. And I was like, who writes this? Like, really? This is going to be, like, in the legit script that actors are going to read is eye-fucking?
Yeah, well, April is Megan Fox, unsurprisingly. Well, I guess it is sort of surprising in that she called Michael Bay Hitler. And yet was still allowed back by Michael Bay to work on this movie. I know that she's said stuff like she wants to be in a live-action Gundam Wing or Thundercats. Because I guess she watched Toonami back in the late 90s, early 2000s. But, you know, I'm not sure I want to see Michael Bay ruin those franchises.
No, because then Hiro Yui would be like this, like, no. Oh my gosh. Okay, my mind's already started. So, here's how I'm thinking that Bay Gundam Wing is gonna happen. So, like, Hiro Yui was always, like, that emo kid.
Yeah.
So then he's just gonna have, like, but, like, I just think Hiro Yui was just antisocial and more militaristic or something. So they're gonna have somebody in there to try to portray him. But it's just gonna be, like, this, like, socially awkward autistic kid. That's gonna be portraying those actions of Hiro Yui, and it's not gonna be. Oh my gosh! Like I want to say, like, well, Hiro Yui is this interesting in the anime? No, he wasn't, and it would just be even worse than that in a live-action Gundam Wing movie. Yeah. Or the opposite is that Hiro Yui is like the star quarterback with the personality and everything and gets all the babes, which is not the Hiro Yui in the Gundam Wing anime. So I have no idea how that piece of garbage may turn out one day that I hope the god never does come out.
I don't think it's possible to condense the plot of a Gundam into a movie. Like, even most of the compilation movies where they have the, you know, all the material in front of them and they just have to edit it, it usually doesn't turn out very well. With the main exception being the original trilogy of Mobile Suit movies. But, like, the Zeta ones didn't work that well. The Turn A ones didn't work that well. I've heard the 0083 one is pretty bad.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
Josh said it was terrible, but I haven't seen it.
And then that's what Steve said, too.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, I've got on my computer to try to get through one day, but...
And then I just, you know, a lot of these that they talk about making, like the live-action Akira that is supposedly in production. Have you heard about that? A lot of these I don't want to be made.
Like, as far as I know, I've got... like one of the anime magazines I collect, and there was something I remember coming across when I was skimming through it like 20 something odd years ago where they were talking about like making a live action Akira movie back then in the 90s.
Well, they're still like, talking about
it. There's been talk about a live action Akira since like forever.
Yeah, it's one of those things like Watchmen where it took 20 years or more to make a movie, and in this case I just hope it never happens.
That's how I feel about like William Gibson's Neuromancer, because like Johnny Mnemonic came out like in 95, and okay, granted, Johnny Mnemonic is not the best movie in the world, but it does have its charm. But however, that's like hindering like other William Gibson movies to be made. So like Neuromancer is always like the one that like people would love to see as a movie, but it may or may not happen. But
isn't it the one where there's Demon City of Shinjuku in it, Johnny Mnemonic?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. That was kind of entertaining. I kind of liked it.
I did come across a Demon City Shinjuku manga that came out by ADV at Banzai Con in the Carolina Manga Library.
I have that. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Did you have all of it? Because I only saw like issue 2 or volume 2, and I've never seen it before.
Uh-huh, yeah. There's like, there's 3 of them. 3 different series, and each one has 2 volumes.
Okay.
Let me get them off my shelf here. I think one is called Demon Palace Babylon or something like that. And
okay.
And then there's, like, Demon City Hunter. And...
Wait, that sounds like a crossover between Hojo and the person who did this. So it's like Ryu Seiba is going out and working with, and is becoming a demon hunter.
Yeah, there's Demon City Hunter, Demon City Shinjuku, and Demon Palace Babylon. Each one has 2 volumes, but I think with Demon City Shinjuku, there were a bunch more volumes in Japan that nobody ever translated. I don't think they've even been
scanlated. I thought you were going to say like they made a bunch of volumes that nobody read in Japan.
Yeah. They're probably read in Japan, but not here.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, but I guess these didn't sell well enough. I mean, I think probably the Demon City Shinjuku and the Demon Palace Babylon ones are made after Demon City of Shinjuku, and so the art, it looks much less dated and 80s.
And okay.
Probably that's why Demon City Shinjuku didn't sell as well as the other two did. But yeah, there's maybe it was Demon City Hunter that came first. I don't know, but one of them is older and didn't get fully translated. And
that's interesting.
You didn't get it though, huh? Because it's just volume 2.
It's like if it was volume 1, I might check it out. Well, I was kind of on a really strict budget, so. I can go into my convention talk unless you're done with yours.
Yeah.
If you have more to say on yours, that's fine. I mean, like,
I had something more to say about Akira. The last I heard, they were going to make it be a 3-part movie. Because that seems to be the trend now, is to drag out movies as long as possible. Like The Hobbit and the Hunger Games, and the next Avengers is supposed to be split up into multiple parts as well. And Harry Potter did that in Twilight. They all do it now.
Well, Harry Potter did it first, and then everybody else copied it. But
right,
like I could, if they're going to do it in an Akira movie series, like a three-parter, if you're basing it off the manga, yes, that is possible, and I think that's actually doable. But if you're trying to do it based off the first movie, that would be a complete boring disaster. Because like I still need to finish the manga. I've got the last two volumes left. But like from what I read in the first four, like it is fantastic. And I remember just like reading through those like crazy.
Yeah, that's something I've been meaning to read.
I need to finish reading the last two though.
Yeah, I definitely need to read that. I think I read the first volume in like middle school or high school.
Okay.
But I can't really remember much, so I need to read it from the start again.
Yeah, we ought to do like
a review
of the Akira manga, and then like the movie too. Like, I don't want to do the movie because I'm like, well, everybody knows about the movie. The freaking movie was on Toonami like 2 years ago.
Right, they had
it
twice.
They keep printing it, so like people like can't say they don't know about Akira.
Yeah, and there's I think a Funimation Blu-ray that came out for Akira not too long ago.
I believe I've got. I think I do have got Akira on Blu-ray. To be honest.
Maybe we should review the old dub, because that's probably less likely to be well-known.
Yeah, the streamlined dub.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got Akira on Blu-ray.
Nice.
I'm not sure if it's by Funimation or not. It probably is, but, like, I got that when I first... That might have been the one I bought, like, before Funimation got theirs out.
Well, I think that there's... You know, it was owned by Genion, right?
Yeah, or Pioneer had it.
The same thing, but yeah. Then there was after that. I think Funimation got it once Genion went out of business and sold most of their library to Funny. So it's probably the Funimation Blu-ray because that came out about 2 years ago at this point, and I think that was why Toonami was airing Akira was to promote the Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Funimation paid them to do it or something. And then there's also the, for other anime movies that are supposedly being made, there's Death Note. They've been talking about that for at least 10 years. A live-action American Death Note.
But what about live-action Robotech and Cowboy Bebop with Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
When they gonna make them movies?
And then there are those rumors, and then there's supposedly the Ghost in the Shell and Battle Angel Alita movies.
I think Ghost in the Shell is going to happen a whole lot quicker than Battle Angel Alita.
Yeah,
and then there's always the
Cameron's
thing,
busy
like,
with Avatar.
Yeah, well, there's also the thing about, like, there was, like, a rumored Bubblegum Crisis live-action movie from, like, some company in, like, maybe Russia or something, but like or China, because they were supposed to get a lot of, like, sponsors. And nothing ever came of that. So, like, apparently there was a site on it, and then, like, that has since been long gone.
Yeah, that doesn't seem likely.
Yeah, I mean, I think they released some concept art to it, but that's, like, forever ago.
That seems like it would be expensive to make. Like, only Hollywood could afford to do it.
All I know is, like, there was at the point where they're trying to find people to put funding behind it, like, big cinema people. Places in other countries except using Hollywood, maybe because they thought like it would be done made quicker if like other countries put their money in instead of giving it to Hollywood, and Hollywood would be like, you know, dragging their feet for like 10 years or longer in order to get something like that out.
Yeah, well, with the live action Robotech you mentioned, Harmony Gold has been pushing that again recently and claiming that they're gonna put one out, but you never know whether you can trust Harmony Gold to fulfill their promises.
Nothing is going to happen. This is Harmony Gold.
Yeah.
They have a license to a property of another license to a property, and they make all these promises about how stuff is going to be get made and done, and you know, and they're trying to push like Robotech's a cool thing, and nobody really cares except for people that are like past 30, or there, just about. Like
yeah.
Me.
I mean,
so
you're going to have...
people that would, like, they would market to Robotech better, but, like, it's just, yeah, like, Harmony Gold just needs to go away in order to get things over in America, because they're the ones that are holding up, like, Macross 7 and Macross Frontier and anything with Macross, because that's all, like, supposedly the contract behind that is even sketchy enough as it is, but how dare you challenge them? That's the way I take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they seem to be not going away, though. They put out that Robotech Live Alive movie a few
years ago. Which is just, Hospita, like, compilation movie or something?
Right.
No, Southern Cross or something, right?
It was the third series.
Okay, so it was Hospita.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was thinking of the Robotech the movie, because that's the one that had used footage from Southern Cross.
Oh, and Megazone
2-3, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's something that probably won't happen, like Robotech 3000 or whatever it was that they were promoting a long time ago.
Yeah. Or
Robotech 2, the Sentinels. At the con, they had a lot of Robotech comic books, and... Yeah. They made a lot of comics out of Robotech 2, the Sentinels. I guess the scripts were also for sale there. There was, like, a book with a bunch of scripts for, I guess, the unproduced episodes. And there's all this junk that's made for that. How much
were people selling Robotech scripts at that convention?
How much were they for? I didn't really look that close.
Okay.
Because I didn't want them. And they have them at the Collector's Marketplace anyway, all the time. They don't really move. Because nobody cares about Robotech anymore.
Like, exactly, no one cares about Robotech, so...
All the younger anime fans tend to hate all anime dubs from before, like, Naruto. And they think that they're all hack dubs and, you know, I mean, there's certainly a lot of edits to Robotech. So if you want, like, a really accurate translation, you're probably... But better to look at the, I think it was ADV that did a redub of it, right?
Well, they Macross. Had, yeah, no, they put, yeah, the ADV did the Robotech stuff, and I think they did do their own redub to it. Because I know, like, they had Vic Mignogna or something, like, do the voice of Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, it might have been Rick Hunter or something like that. Or that might have been their license for Macross, actually. And Vic was the voice in that. So they did a redub of, like, the Macross series. But, like, when Anime Ego had it, like, they just did a straight, like... They put out the original Macross series in Japanese, and that was it. Because they were like, yeah, we're not doing a dub for this or anything.
Yeah, for some reason they don't do dubs on all their releases. I saw the, what was it? It was like an early Rintaro movie, Dagger of Kamui, I think.
I still need to see that. I've heard good things about that.
Yeah, I checked that out at the library, and it was an Anime Ego DVD, and it was sub only.
Yeah.
But it was very, very unique. One of the few anime that takes place partially in America and partially in Japan.
Okay.
But very... like, weird historical anime. But it has some good artwork in it, and music, and is something you should check out. Anyway, I guess let's get on to your con review.
Excuse me, tiny person. Maybe you should like bands that exist now and are popular and good. No.
This is new.
I only need to follow bands like whose lead singers currently are fetuses.
Yeah.
He's like waiting for a pregnant woman to walk by.
He's like, I got my eye.
Oh, yeah. Goes into some toddler's house, puts drumsticks in his hands.
You go.
It's like, excuse me, what are you doing in here? Nothing.
She jumps through a closed window.
It's like, whoa, she takes her hipsterhood seriously. Away. Thank God our hipster friend never gets a time machine, or she's going to start going back into the past to create bands so that she can like them.
The Alpha Counter Podcast from the creators of Method to Madness. Find them on iTunes and alphacounter.com.
Masamune Shiro is like the idea man. He's like, you know, what if there was a future where everybody was a cyborg in some way? And people are like, yeah, yeah, that's a great idea. And then he's like, and they're lesbians, and they have sex with each other while removing each other's arms.
That's it, get out!
And also horses, anthropomorphic horses. And everybody gets their breasts milked.
And then someone buys the rights to his idea.
And makes it
tases him. And makes a good anime.
They put him in a potato sack and throw him off a ship. But he just keeps coming back.
His lesbian robots save him.
Fast karate for the gentleman.
Because the speed of your karate is the only thing that can save you.
My nephew, like the Power Rangers. And I did this on his birthday where he had all his friends around. They were like, Green Ranger. I said, let me show you the real Sentai. I'm going to show you the episode where Green Ranger actually died. And they were sitting there looking. A couple kids start crying like, no, Green Ranger can't be daddy. And the parents were like, what are you showing our kids?
The Anime World Order Podcast.
Not suitable for children because the truth hurts.
Visit us online at www.animeworldorder.com.
Like, I went to Banzai Con, like, last night. I didn't go the whole entire day on Saturday because my girlfriend Dory was working. And so, like, she was trying to get off earlier, but then she couldn't for some reason. So we wound up getting to, like, Columbia about, like, 7:30, like, Saturday night. And we basically walked in to go check in because she had to use the bathroom. And we actually got a really good discount on both our badges because I basically made her as my panelist assistant. So she got a panelist badge also.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you how that went down in the panel that I did. But
was she actually at the panel?
What?
Was she actually at the panel or were you just using that to get her in?
No, like she was – I'll get to her being in the panel, yeah.
Okay.
But no, we went over to the counter and I told her, like, well, maybe, like, because she's like, you know, we showed up so late, I don't think it's fair that we pay this full price for Saturday. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. And I said, well, I'm a panelist, so let me just see if I can just have you in as my assistant or whatever. And so we talked to the guy who runs panels, which he was really cool with us because, like, I mean, yeah, I'm essentially, I'm lying about it. But then he saw us and he, like, I was pretty much nice enough and he's just like, I'll tell you what, guy, you both can get in for $15. Because apparently, according to me, because I didn't get, like, my full 3 hours of panel time, like, I didn't get really technically a free admission to get in there. And then I just kind of made her sound like she was, like, you know, my sidekick or like, oh, she's my tech assistant or whatever. She doesn't know anything about that stuff. I was just like, look, I'm going to try to get you a discount or whatever.
Yeah.
And the guy was cool. He was just like, you know, it's late. I don't really care. Cause, you know, I think they make they made a ton of their money already from like pre-registration and also like the people that show up to pay for the day passes and stuff. And since I'm giving the panel content, I mean, he was like more relaxed with me. And so yeah, he's just like, give me $15 and you guys are both cleared. And which is actually a pretty good deal for two people. But no, anyways, so we started talking and I told him about my other panels that I submitted and he didn't know about them. And he just said that it's really down to, like, the content of, like, how they think it's appropriate for everybody. Because he's like, yeah, I really like your panel ideas, but, like, if we had extra panel rooms, you definitely get in. But, like, it's more of a priority thing. So, like, me talking about motorcycles and anime or Mamoru Oshii films was not going to be as interesting to the crowd base that's there compared to people who want to freaking talk about Homestuck and My Little Pony and Hetalia or whatever. Well, now it's Steven Universe, so that's, like, another cool thing, too.
So they have panels on Steven Universe and Homestuck and My Little Pony there, even though this is supposedly an anime convention?
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't, but, like, the guy praised me. He was just like, because there's only, like, four panel rooms that they had at this convention place. And then what they did is, it's the same place that they had Nashicons at every year, because they moved out of that Sheraton Hotel, or the Marriott from last year, the one I told you about where the AC broke. Supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this year it was air conditioned, so we were fine. And they had the dealer's room upstairs, but like we got there so late that the dealer's room was already closed, so like I don't know who was there selling stuff. That's probably for my benefit, but I actually did buy two things from the Carolina Manga Library. They had some DVDs on sale. And I got Amon Saga, which is not the same as Amon Devilman of the Apocalypse. This is like by Manga UK. It's Almond Saga. It's like something totally different, but like...
Is it OVA?
I think so, because like the art for it on the cover of this is by Yoshitaka Amano, who does the Final Fantasy art.
Huh.
So we'll definitely have to check that out. And then also I got Night Warriors Darkstalkers Revenge, which is the Darkstalkers OVA series. This is put out by Viz Video and Pioneer. And I think I've only got like, it's four episodes, but only got like two of them. And I think this is like the first two. So if I ever, I do have like, I've got the last two OVAs or something like that on Laserdisc, but they're in pure Japanese. So I don't really have, they're not subtitled or anything like that, so.
Oh.
And I've got the first episode of this, so that should be okay. Or I might have, like, the last two, like, maybe that third volume on Laserdisc that I had Masao Moriyama sign might be the last two, I don't know. But,
Probably just one episode per Laserdisc, knowing Japan.
That might be it, too. I think I put one in, like, when I got them a couple years ago or something, and then, like, I just to test them out, and it might have just been one episode per disc.
Because I think each episode is released, you know, individually on home video, or, like, a few months apart is usually how the OVAs work.
Yeah. I mean, this one, because of the two episodes on DVD, it says approximately 90 minutes. So they're about 45 minutes an episode. This is, of course, not to be confused with the Darkstalkers USA cartoon in the 90s that I heard was pure garbage. Which is, like, pure garbage as, like, the Street Fighter cartoon and Mortal Kombat that they released at the same time. Now, I own Street Fighter on DVD that I got for free. So that was actually handed to me. And I did see those. And if you've seen any of it, yeah, it's as bad as you saw.
I saw, like, a... some of it they had in at the Collector's Marketplace at the video game booth, the Street Fighter cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody was making fun of it. And I've seen, like a clip on YouTube. There's some famous clip from it, I think.
Yeah. See, I think people know about it because it's on YouTube. But they never sat down and saw the entire 26 episodes that it was, like I did.
Right.
And when I saw it, I knew nothing. Like, I was just like, oh, I guess... in the 90s, there was a Street Fighter cartoon. I kind of forgot. Like, nobody was talking about it or making it into a meme. And then I saw, like, all of it within a period of, like, a month and a half or something. Or maybe a couple weeks. I don't know. And then, like, not too long after that, like, it was, like, on the internet where people were making fun of it. Like, it was, like, a cool thing to make fun of. And I'm like, I already know what this is. Like, this was given to me for free.
Did you like it? The show?
I didn't mind it too much. Like, yeah, it's cheesy and corny, and it's got its own style of being terrible, but, like, it was still entertaining.
That's how I felt about the Street Fighter that was on Anna Monday, the Street Fighter 2V.
Yeah, Street Fighter 2V, like, Street Fighter 2V is dumb, but, like, it's still, like, an entertaining show.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, like, it tries to get serious at the end. All I know is that I marathoned the last, like, six or seven episodes of on Netflix before like Stars was gonna pull it off, so because I was like, oh, I need to watch this like right now, and I did, and literally the last five episodes were like felt like one giant episode where like nothing happened.
Oh, I can't remember how far I saw, but I know that they didn't finish it on Sci-Fi Channel.
No, they got as far as the Vega fight, because that's what I watched up to that point, and then they stopped. And I only recorded up to, like, episode 8 or 9, because it aired around the time when my parents were moving here, and then I had to the kind of, like, house jump with people. Mm-hmm. And I was the only one that was, well, still to this day, that owns a VCR and still records stuff on it. So, like, I had stuff on a tape, and it was only, like, maybe 6 or 8 episodes or something. And then, like, the rest of it, I just had to kind of, like, watch on my own or whatever, so...
Yeah. I don't know how far I got. I think I saw all of what they aired, but I might be wrong. It's just that Anna Monday, it had, like, a inconvenient time slot for me. Because I was in high school, you know? I had to go to school the next day, and it was on, like, late at night. And yeah, I was living in Texas, like 11, so I didn't get to watch 3 hours earlier like I do here living on the West Coast.
Yeah, it was like 11 to 1 a.m.
Right. So this is very inconvenient. I watched part of Noane and Toko on there too, but I didn't finish either one of those.
I only saw the first couple episodes of Toko. That's all I remember. No, Toko was garbage.
Yeah, I remember it being like kind of horrible, but also kind of amusing. But I don't remember what it was about. I think maybe it was demons or something.
It was demon hunting and demons and some dude that had like two different colored hair. And he looked pretty gay.
The main thing I remember is some chick that had on only a jacket that was unbuttoned. And somehow it never, like, blew off, even though she was always riding around on a motorcycle. And
you remember more of this show than I do.
I remember that because I was, like, 14 watching it, and I thought that was hot or something.
I don't blame you at all. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, like, dude, it's tits. I mean, like, at 14, you don't judge tits. Tits are tits. You take what you can get. And then you look back, and you're like, those tits were good, and those tits were not. So, it's okay, man.
There were some shows that were on there that I missed entirely, though, like Virus Buster Surge.
I saw a couple episodes of that, but like I see it on DVD at conventions like all the time. And I think Discotech's putting it out, too, but like it just was not an amusing show by Masami Obari at all.
Hmm. That's too bad.
I think I did record a couple episodes of Virus Buster Surge, to be honest.
Yeah.
It might be on, like, in my box of tapes or something. I don't know.
And then they had on something called Monster. I think I saw the first two episodes, and then I dropped it.
Yeah, everyone says how good Monster is. Uh-huh. But I think you'd probably have to watch it from the very beginning and get really involved with it, so.
Well, it's like, I remember what JT remembers, which is that there was some guy in a hospital running around in hallways screaming a bunch, and that's, like, the main thing I remember from it.
And based on JT's taste in anime, that's, like, the worst thing he could ever see.
He probably made it further than I did, because he has the so-called five-episode rule, where he watches five episodes of a show and then determines whether it's good or not based on that, and he considers this to be an infallible principle of judgment.
Oh, man. I mean, it shouldn't be a principle set in stone, but however, like, in order to save you time, then. But this is coming from a guy that's been taking him 15 years to watch all of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, but, like, he says it never fails, which I find that hard to believe, because there are some shows that get better later on after setting up stuff slowly.
Yeah. Okay, so I think I was talking about the stuff. Yeah, I was talking about the DVDs I bought from the Carolina Manga Library.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, like, after we got our badges, Dory and I went to this ramen place that was up the road that we went to, like, whenever we go to these Columbia Cons. Or I go there whenever I go to these Columbia Cons. And, you know, we pretty much went up there, hung out and everything. And then we came back. We went to Starbucks to get caffeine in order to keep me awake during my panel and also my drive back that night or last night. And, we pretty much went back. We did hang out in the arcade for a while. The guy who had Initial D machines at Animazement did bring him there at Banzai Con, so I got to play Initial D for a little bit. So that was satisfying. No, there was like two guys playing Initial D, and they were like, they're just the biggest nerds, and they were so cool to like hear them like joke about stuff. Like one of them just kept saying, "Press Starto! Press the Starto button." it was like trying to sound so broken Japanese. And they're like, "Oh man, I remember this from the anime." And then they saw my name because I used my card that I got from Japan. Or like, "Dustin, I don't remember that character in the anime." I was like, "Yeah, he's a throwaway character in the manga series volume. Let's race." No, I don't know. But there was a bunch. I think the same people that were there brought these pachinko machines over, which was I got to play pachinko or try it out, so that was actually a little bit fun. And then also there was the people that brought the Windjammers cabinet, and I got to play one guy on it that actually already knew about our podcast, because he was a guy who saw me last year at BonsaiCon, and was like, "Hey, you're that Anime Bestiary guy," and I was like, "Yeah, you're right."
He actually did
show up to my panel later.
Did he say he like listens to the podcast? Or
I don't know. I didn't like last year when I asked him about it. He was like, "Yeah, I remember the last episode I heard was like you guys trashing that one NashiCon." I was like, "Yeah,
oh god."
And that was when we got all those angry comments.
Yeah, that one is probably the one that got the most comments, because you posted on the Facebook group for NashiCon, and then a bunch of people got mad.
I had social justice warriors on my butt.
They were like, "How dare you not understand the brilliance of this art that you posted a screen cap of?"
That I took a photo of that I didn't understand what it was to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I got to play him in Windjammers, and he actually beat me. So I had fun. I was like, "Hey, I got my Windjammers fixed, so I'm good with that." I mean, other than that, like, Hermie just kind of hung around and waited till my panel started, because it was kind of like I didn't really have money, and like I can't really drink because I'm the one that drove us up there, and she doesn't drink at all, so it kind of works out. But I wanted to try to meet up with Richard Epcar. I actually sent him an email Thursday about wanting to get an interview with him, and he didn't respond back, which I was like, "Well, he's probably at the con, so he's busy." And I sent him something about, like, kind of like threats and beta, like, "Hey, if you're interested, let me know if these times work on Saturday." And I haven't heard back from him, so I might try again in the next few days to see if we can get him on the show or something, but we'll see. But I didn't, I mean, like, because I showed up so late, I didn't see any of the guests that were there, which I kind of wish, like, if it worked out that we went there and went the whole Saturday, I could have went to their panels and talked to Richard Epcar and probably did an interview there on the spot. But, oh well, that's no big deal. Because there was also another guest that was there that also voiced in Robotech, too.
Which one?
I don't know. Let me look at the BonsaiCon website. BonsaiCon, yeah, this is how prepared we are as a podcast.
Did you see this guy? I just saw him like on the list of the people that are there.
I saw Richard Epcar on the list. So, like, Cassandra Lee Morris was a guest there. The manga artist for Wedding Peach was there, because that's the only thing she's ever done is Wedding Peach. It's Nao Yazawa. But Wedding Peach is popular within the Tokyo Pop manga circle, so
I think I saw the first episode of that.
Okay.
In my Japanese pop culture class, for some reason they showed us the first episode. I remember everybody just laughing at how bad it was.
Okay, so the other one that voiced in Robotech was Ellen Stern.
Okay.
I'm not sure what character she had in Robotech, but she was, according to the BonsaiCon website, which is a bunch of information they pulled off of A&N, it looks like. Like, she was I don't know. Let's take a look here. Moru in Vampire Princess Miyu. She played Keiko Masaki in Pat Labor 3. It just lists, like, Macross 1, 2, 3, Tom Sawyer, Captain Schnauzer, and many more. I think Captain Schnauzer was, like, the cartoon that had it was actually Mike Reynolds was in that thing, so there, I know there's an audio thing where it's Mike Reynolds singing, and it's just, if you know Mike Reynolds' voice and it's trying to sing a Kate song, it's fantastic. But I just know, like, Anime World Order did an interview with him a couple years ago, they played that audio. Or no, someone uploaded that on the comment section, so, and I definitely have that saved, so it's fun. But it's like, this is someone else that was in Robotech too, so, like, I would have been cool if I got her.
On her IMDb, it says also known as Ellen Epcar, so I guess she married Richard Epcar.
Oh, so that might be his wife. Okay. I did not know. Well, it's got her listed as a Martha Viss, Carbine, and Gundam Unicorn.
Huh.
And she played Ichigo's mom in Bleach.
Oh. She, like, dies in, like, 5 minutes or something in a flashback. So that's not much of a role.
Okay. I mean,
Oh, it says her. She was in the movie. I don't even remember the mother being in one of the movies. And I'm trying to find her on her IMDb page, who she played in Robotech, but not having much luck. The speaking of Gundam, they had the new episode of
Iron Blood Orphans.
No, the OVA Gundam The Origin was premiering in LA, but like by that time I was already, you know, out of LA and off in my hotel in Palm Springs. But it would have been nice to have seen that on the big screen, because they were airing the dub of both the first and second episodes.
Okay, well, crap. Now we got to review that eventually. So,
yeah, that's definitely something to download, because I think probably by now it's on.
Well, I know it's online. On Daisuke right now. Let me check real quick.
Yeah, but they charge like $8, right?
Holy crap! Hang on, I thought it was what was going to be the Origin. They've only got the first 8 minutes up for streaming. Oh, it's $6.99 through Daisuke.
Yeah, I thought so.
Well, I might as well check PSN and see how much it is.
It is almost that much to see it in the theater. It was $15 for the two episodes. I wish I'd been able to go.
So if it's almost $15, it's like $7-something.
Yeah, and it would have been only 50 cents more expensive per episode.
Alright, well, we're going to have to... I'll have to rent this and then stream it over Twitch one night, and we can review it.
Yeah.
So I still haven't gotten around to reading a lot of the fifth manga. So I am, once again, extremely lazy about this stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah, they're up to volume 11.
And yeah, the final volume comes out in December.
Right, it's almost
which is probably when this review is going to come out.
Volume 11 is very cool. Can't wait to see the last one.
I'm still trying to get out of volume 5. Like, I just, like, I have things I read, but it's called schoolwork.
When do you think you'll have time to catch up on it?
When I'm out of college? I don't know.
That'll probably be a few more years though, huh?
I guess I can try reading it during Christmas or something, or maybe Thanksgiving break. I don't know, but it's always like Thanksgiving break. Oh, it's probably like a ton of homework for you to do because you're in college. You don't have a life ever. So we'll see how this plays out. But anyways, so like that was another guest that was there. I think there was a few. I know Charles Dunbar. Eric Stewart was there, who plays Kaiba in Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh, yeah. And Brock in Pokemon.
Yeah. And they got Tara Sands. She's Mokuba in Yu-Gi-Oh. I mean, I know the name Tara Sands. It's just like, I think I just know her doing something else. But there was... Anyways, but they had a pretty good guest list there. And I think their autograph... No, their autograph table was upstairs near the dealer's room. But they had, like, section lines to get, like, organize people, which is actually a pretty good idea. Like, they had, like... marked out on the carpet, and they had like little arrows going to it, which was actually pretty smart.
Do you remember the guy on Toon Zone called Slipper Man?
No.
He was obsessed with Tara Sands. He used to always like post threads about how she was the greatest, and like Daft trolled him at one point. There was like this big stupid drama between him and Daft in like 2007 or 2008. She hosted the Cartoon Network Fridays block at one point.
Okay, well, she also did the voice of Bulbasaur, Richie, and Jasmine in Pokemon.
Yeah, so. And she was in Kenshin also as Seita Sojiro, who I think was the guy with the blue hair that worked for Shishio.
The little kid, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't really have like a season 2 of Rurouni Kenshin for her to sign, so. Well.
It says she's also in the redub of Sailor Moon.
I didn't really see a lot of like. What was interesting enough at Banzai Con was the fact that when we got there, like, it was pretty much quiet in that convention hall because I think it was Halloween night, so everybody else that either got picked up to go do other Halloween stuff that day or, like, it was a bunch of adults going out to bars getting drunk or whatever. And, like, guys, even as I was going past the con, like, the bars, like, I noticed, like, some people that could have been at the convention. There was actually a couple of, Kung Fury cosplayers there, too, which is actually pretty cool.
Which characters?
But no, like, I think, like, a lot of people just went out on the town to do stuff that night, and because that con room, like, other than, like, the teenagers doing the rave, like, I think the adults that were there probably just, you know, like I said, just because, like, the way the convention center is at, it's, like, literally, like, a minute walk to, like, the central hub of, like, three or four bars. So that's probably where, like, everybody went to. After they were just kind of Dory and I hung around, like, we went over to my panel and got set up. And I had like, one of the smaller panel rooms, which it didn't actually fill up entirely. I think it was about half full. And there might have been, like, 50 or 60 seats in there. So that's actually not too bad. Or maybe it was, like, maybe a third full or something. But, like, I had a better turnout than I did last year. So, last year I had a bigger panel room and, like, nobody really showed up because there wasn't freaking any air conditioning and, like, it's midnight. Why would you freaking sweat to death? So this year I think I felt like I had a better turnout and I had a better crowd too. Like, I had some people in there that, like, just, like, lost it on certain things that I showed.
That's good.
And I told Dory this. I was just like, you know, well, we spent her, because I actually had Dory, since she was a panelist, I had her sit up in the front with me to kind of, like, and she just kind of just sat there and enjoyed, like, the front row seat of it or whatever. But yeah, like, she was highly entertained of what I was showing and even some of the stuff I was doing. There was stuff that, like, in Moldiver, like, they had the one scene where the girl punches the cyborg girl and, like, basically punches her in two.
Yeah.
And she's limping over to the bridge to try to blow it up. As soon as I showed that room, like, all the guys in the room lost it. And then the girl's crawling, and then this one dude's like, dude, what's the fucking point, man? Just kill yourself. And then she blew herself up and is like, oh, okay. So, like, I was telling him, it was just like, we drove like an hour and a half to spend an evening for me to have people yell, what the hell is this? What the fuck? For 2 hours. And if I get that response from my panel, that's kind of like the shock value. That's what I'm going for. Otherwise, I didn't think it would be that good.
Well, that is the name of that panel, so.
Yeah, and what the heck? It's like the church term for it. But when you go in there, like, some dude was like, why don't you call this the what the hell moments in anime, man? I'm thinking, if I said hell, I wouldn't get approved.
Well, didn't you used to? It used to be like something else, right? You've changed the name of it.
Well, I've stuck with what the heck for a couple years, but like we try to get it as what the damn moments in anime, like at Animazement when I started this, like in 2011 with Sean Ryan, and then I realized like I tried doing the same submission, so then they wound up changing the name on me. And I think it probably was heck, and I just kind of went with it. So, and I'll just kind of stick with it from there on out the next time I do it.
So you're going to keep doing this?
If I do it next year for BonsaiCon, I'm going to have it as an all-ages thing. So,
what kind of stuff is shocking but still can appeal to the all-ages group?
Well, it'll be pretty funny. Like, even the stuff I showed that wasn't, like, totally adult or whatever, like, some people got some really good laughs out of it, so.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's a whole collection of Korean anime that I could show.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I could show that Captain of the Cosmos, a.k.a. the big Gundam ripoff, or a.k.a. Johnny Ninja Space Knight or whatever. Like, any way for me to show crappy alterations of Gundam in any form. Like, and that's what I did. Like, I showed Doozy Bots, and, like, I think pretty much people in there, well, they liked it, and, you know, enough as it was. And, like, at the end, they all kind of chuckled, and I was like, man, what a piece of shit that was. And they just lost it.
Doozy Bots?
Yeah. Okay, so one of the things that I did And my girlfriend had the, and like Dory told me she should have recorded this, and I told her no, because anything that happens in this panel room stays in here, was, so anyways, like, I guess back in the 60s, and even, Streamline put these out, it's, Mighty Mr. Titan. Do you know about this?
I don't.
Okay. Well, I think they put some of those episodes out with, like, the Clutch Cargo, whatever, on, whenever Streamline did the VHS stuff for that. Probably Josh would know about Mighty Mr. Titan, but, like, at Anime Hell every year, like, they show, like, Mighty Mr. Titan, and everybody gets up and does all these exercises. And I think, I'm not sure if it was, like, a government-sanctioned cartoon to, like, try to get kids to do active stuff and, like, do stretches. And so, like, in animation, like, people, like, love that Mighty Mr. Titan. Like, when it comes on, everyone gets up and they start singing along with the theme song. And so, like, I had to be, because I'm showing it, I had to get the crowd involved in it. So I wound up getting up and making a giant fool of myself to sing the Mighty Mr. Titan. Yeah, Mighty Mr. Titan's theme song. And a couple of people did join in and get up and, like, was part of it. And some of them did the exercises and everything, and the others just kind of stood around and... But, like, that's the point. Like, I was like, if I showed this without doing anything with it and just showed it how it is, like, it probably wouldn't be as engaging.
Yeah.
And my goal was, like, okay, I need to get people, like, interactive with this, so... And let's see how it goes. And, like, of course, the entire time, my girlfriend just got her head down laughing at me. I need to get people, like, interactive with this, so... Bet on that at all. So, I decided to, because the new Peanuts movie comes out this Friday, I was like, okay, well, and so I was about to play, and I was like, all right, guys, you guys excited for the new Peanuts movie? And they were like, and I was like, all right, well, here's a new clip from that Peanuts film. And it's something from 30 years ago, and it's basically like Charlie Brown killing off everybody. And, like, he literally goes on a Rambo rampage. I'll definitely post a video and everything on the show notes for this. But, I mean, the guy who did it was one of the writers for The Simpsons, and he made it, like, when he was at CalArts. So.
Interesting. So this is on,
yeah,
like,
no,
YouTube?
It is interesting. Go ahead.
It's on YouTube or something?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. So, like, I got to show that. I also showed one which was, somebody did, like, one of those claymation things with Frozen and John Carpenter's The Thing. And it's reenacting the scene from when they did the blood test thing. And except for, like, in the movie, one of the guys goes crazy, but it's actually Elsa that goes crazy. And so, like, and people love that, too. So, I mean, yeah, it was a good, you know, good experience. Like, even when I showed Amon, I mean, even I forewarned people about Amon, Devilman of the Apocalypse or whatever, and I was just like, this may be the most questionable thing I'll show you guys tonight. And then, like, it got to, like, the demon penis, and some dudes were like, wait, what? And then, like, they see Acid Tits Girl, and they start going, they kind of sort of lost it there and everything.
Did they seem like they're enjoying it, or they're horrified, or...
A little bit of both. Like, one dude, like, no, I think I showed the 3D Gundam, that old life. I don't know if you ever saw the 3D Gundam where it's like a bunch of Asian kids or Japanese kids acting out the episode of where Matilda dies on the rooftop. Have you ever seen that?
I think so.
Okay. Well, Viku would definitely know about it. But, like, I that's something that's out of my other personal collection of data CDs, and I think I got that from the Toonami Digital Arsenal like years ago. But I mean, that's on YouTube also. But yeah, like I showed that, and one dude, like, I think the one guy I had in there was like somebody that's been going to my panel every year, and so him, like, every time I about showed something, he's like, oh, I know this one, y'all, you know, like he got really, like, he didn't spoil anything. But he was, like, really involved with it. Like, I was just kind of... I guess it's on my part, because it's, like, I don't change a lot of stuff too much. Because it's, like, because every year, like, it's mostly new people that go in that panel room. So then, like, it's stuff that they've never seen before. And then other people that keep coming back that are, like, the returners to the panel are, like, the ones that were, like, okay, well, what do you got new this year kind of thing. And I do have new stuff every year. So, like, I actually took out, like, Mad Bowl 34 this year. To make room for the try to shorten down the time and everything, so. But
what,
I mean,
was
all
the
in all,
grenade scene that you were using?
The what?
Was it the grenade scene that you were using previously?
Yeah, I've been using that for like 3 years. So I was just like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and retire this.
Yeah. It had a good run.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff I've had since the beginning because it's just like, it's like my hard hitters, my, you know, home run, instant home runners that get the kid, people's attention to stuff. Like, especially Dominion Tank Police and the penis deterrents against the tanks. Like, that's an instant crowd pleaser right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I think, it, I mean, like, it went pretty well. I think it went better this year than it did last year. So, and, I did some trivia and I gave away those, Skybound, Super Fight card decks along with, a couple of copies of Ghost in the Shell. Cause I mentioned that and I was like, you guys realize this thing's like 20 years old next month, which was like technically this month or in a couple weeks it is. So, and they were like, oh yeah. And I said, well, you got a chance to win it. So yeah, like I think it went pretty well. Apparently, according to the staff people, like some people did get up and leave my panel. And I wasn't sure if it was like it's getting late or they were just offended by what I was showing. According to the staff people outside, next door to me, there was a Yaoi panel. And so people left my panel to go to the Yaoi panel.
That's sad.
Yes! The guy who told me this was literally shaking his head. And I'm like, I can't believe those people did it. I was like, you know...
That's modern anime fans for you.
Yeah, well, here's my thing. The less people I get out of watching a Yaoi panel, I think the better. I'm like, yeah, I'm showing things as probably just as degenerate as next door. Well, maybe even worse. But as long as the Yaoi people don't get their way and get the attendance that they want, that's a win for me.
Did you see how packed it was in there? Like, was it still going when you
finished? I'm running my panel. I couldn't care less about who, like anything that's going on whenever I'm running something. So,
yeah.
I have no idea how big or small that panel was.
Probably huge.
Probably, yeah. But I just hope like they heard us next door and like heard like all, they're like, oh, I wonder who what they're laughing about or whatever. Like, oh, this sounds like they're having a fun time. I was like, yeah, they are watching terrible Japanese cartoons. So.
It's funny how there's like this sort of ridiculous culture war kind of thing over fan art. You know, like the Steven Universe art. You know, it's worthy of being sentenced to death for or whatever, but, you know, if somebody can't get Vic to sign their Yaoi art, then they're being oppressed. And Vic is some sort of horrible guy who needs to be boycotted and not allowed to cons and everything.
Because he won't sign your terrible Yaoi fan art.
Yeah.
I think we've had that argument several times. So.
Yeah, we've brought up the Vic thing before.
I mean, like, but like for me, it's just kind of like, I don't, like, all right, I mean... I'm really like don't know if I want to do another 18 plus panel, and like I don't really feel like up to it anymore. But at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, like last night everyone having fun and everything. And I know if I did like an all ages one, like I'll get a whole lot more people to watch that, which will help me out in the end. But it's kind of like if I can just fight the powers of other 18 plus panels that I know that are terrible. And just the fact that, like, I may not be able to get their numbers, but at least, like, holding them off or having some stiff competition against them, there's a lot of pride in that for me.
Yeah, there's not going to be much competition for that Yaoi panel at the late night slot of next year if you don't do it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, because I have no idea, like, I just know, like, when I went in there to get started and set up and everything, like, I didn't really see much of a line outside next door to the Yaoi panel. But there was a line outside mine. Like, there was a good number of people. And the people that were in that line wound up staying most of the time. So, I just know there was, like, two girls in the second row that literally got up and left, like, before I showed the Amon clip.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, I mean, if they got offended now, it's probably for the best or something. And they probably went next door for the Yaoi panel. Because I think that thing started, like, 1 a.m. or something, so...
When I was looking at the panel list for the Kamikaze thing before I went to it, I didn't actually go to any panels, but I noticed most of them were social justice warrior panels, like almost all.
Oh my gosh.
There was like feminism in comic books, transgender issues in comic books.
Oh my gosh.
Lesbianism in comic books, et cetera, et cetera. Like inclusivity in comic books, sex positivism in comic books, blah blah blah. They made an issue out of cosplay's not consent panel, and like all of the hot button issues of the Tumblr set had their own individual panel, and it was like every other panel that was listed was about that kind of stuff. And you know, there were a few that were not. There was like one panel where the people were watching, I guess, the Doctor Who marathon on BBC America or something. And then there were the Stan Lee ones. But like most of them were politically correct oriented panels, I noticed.
That all sounds terrible.
But it is Los Angeles, so that shouldn't be too surprising.
The douchebag capital of the world.
I was surprised by how trashy the area around there was. Like, there were, like, garbage carts, like, shopping carts filled with garbage and stuff, and homeless people everywhere right around the con. And there were people, like, inside the con who, like me, were, you know, from other states. And they were like, we had to walk past all these homeless people to get here. It's so lame.
Welcome to L.A.
Yeah, I guess not everybody is prepared for L.A. Like, I didn't expect it to be quite that bad. I mean, I know it has a reputation.
It sounds like it's a third world. It sounds like a third world country. Because in third world countries, because I've been to like two mission trips to Ecuador, like when I was a teen, like there's literally homeless people everywhere. So it sounds like it's not any different.
There's also a tremendous amount of graffiti on practically everything around there. Like the freeway covered in graffiti, every building covered in graffiti. And then there's some buildings that look like they've just been, like, straight out abandoned, like, right in downtown, that have, like, fallen out windows and look totally, like they've been taken over by homeless people living in them or something, squatting.
Yeah.
So, really, it does seem like parts of America are a third world country, you know. I mean, the reality is a lot of these people are, living very, very poor lifestyles. So it's unfortunate that that's going on in L.A., but it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's so expensive there. So it's like I could probably understand why there's a high homeless population there.
Right. I mean, the housing price is pretty high.
Yeah.
And the gas price is a whole dollar more expensive there than here. It's $3 there, $2 here in Arizona.
Dude, it's like $1.87 right now.
Yeah, it's, I think, like $1.93 is the cheapest I've seen it here in Phoenix.
Okay.
But it's definitely, like, $3 or more in L.A. because it's so heavily taxed by the California government.
Mm.
And even with those taxes, the roads are still pretty terrible in L.A., so it's not like the transportation taxes are going to good use or anything.
Yeah, clearly.
I mean, totally congested at 3 o'clock, getting out of there, heading towards the hotel, even on a Saturday. It's not like people are getting off work or anything at that time of day. I don't know if they're going to Halloween parties or what, but it was some pretty terrible traffic going there and back. But once you get out into the desert, it's a nice drive. I mean, lots of great mountains and seeing them with the sunset is always nice. The sort of purple desert mountain kind of. I was also shocked by how many windmills there are out there. There's one area where there's just like hundreds of them.
That sounds pretty cool.
And there's a ton of hawks out there in the desert too. This is something I noticed.
Well, I assume a lot of things die in the desert for hawks to get them, so they're not going anywhere.
There were some wild rabbits that lived in my neighborhood, but I haven't seen them in like a month or two, and I've been seeing more hawks lately, so I think they probably got eaten by hawks or something.
That's a good assumption on how the how nature works in your area.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird because they were like right here in the suburbs, and they've just been bouncing from house to house and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that they can only run so fast when there's a hawk after them.
Yeah, really.
Anyway, I guess we've gotten way off topic. Do you have anything more to say about your con?
I mean, other than, like, after the panel, like, I mean, we basically, like, head home, and I got home, like, daylight savings time was last night, so we got home, like, 2:48, which was really, in reality, like, 3:48 or something. And, so Dory slept on my bed, and I just, like, slept on the couch or something, and so she had work today. So that was pretty much, yeah, that was, like, our convention experience there. I don't think I'm missing anything else, because I did have one other clip I was going to show at the end, and it was something on YouTube. It was like a TIE Fighter Saga thing, which is really cool, but I didn't get to show it because I was kind of like stuck on time, because I wound up using like the last 10 minutes to do like the quiz thing for people to get stuff from me. But no, I mean, that was pretty much Banzai Con for me. Like, I mean, I would... This is like the every year I would go and like talk about what I did for like an hour and a half. But I mean, when you're there for 6 hours of that day and it's at night when like hardly only the arcade places open up and there's still a couple of panels going on, there's really not much. The panel guy, remember I told you about that cows and anime thing?
Mm-hmm.
So I was wrong in my assumption. It was that guy who ran the panel room, because I asked him about it. He goes, yeah, I went and saw that. He said it was actually really good. They actually talked about cows in anime, actual cows.
There are some.
Flying steers and everything, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, so, kind of. Because he saw mine, he's just like, it was like one of those things where it's kind of like, well, yours was actually really cool, but we decided to go with cows in anime this time. And I was like, whatever, dude. And that's why I'm kind of like skeptical and like, I don't know if I'm going to, I might just skip a year from Banzai Con unless there's like a guest I want to, like, that's going to be there next year or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
But my plan now is to do my stuff at Anime Week in Atlanta next year. So okay. I need to check on panel submission stuff. So we'll just see how that goes. But no, that was my convention experience. So, that's all I got to say about Banzai Con.
All right, we can do closing remarks in a second, but I have to let my dog outside.
Yeah, sure. Join the Titan.
Okay, I'm back, and I've got hey. A quote from Chris Chan from yesterday.
All right.
Text, Happy Halloween from Quickville. The leading family are theming with Equestria girls. Sonichu, Rosachu, and Robbie are wearing wigs. Christine had her hair colored special for her Twilight Sparkle outfit. I think Robbie looks awesome with the rainbow hair. Sarah looks sassy as Applejack. And Sonichu and Rosachu look great as the canonical friends in the MLP universe, Vinyl Scratch and Octavia Melody. Stay safe while trick-or-treating, escorting the children on the outing, or while partying. Boo. And then there's some hideous Happy Halloween fan art.
I figured that was coming.
Is like these Sonichu characters cross-dressing as like My Little Pony girls or something.
Okay.
It's pretty horrendous. And the title on the quickie thread for it is Sonichu finally goes full trans because he's dressed as a girl.
Wow. That's so... Man, I don't know what to say. He's like completely like taking his characters and like... I mean, just trying to, like, it's pretty much his characters are, like, not even their own thing. They're basically whatever Chris wants them to be. I mean, yeah. Granted, it's like he can't even stick to his own creativity.
I mean, there's also a new retcon, which I don't even understand what it means, but this is another thread on here. William spread the fact. Silvana Rosachu has been portraying Sonic and Amy in book number one. And will reprise the transformations in book 11 and 12 for part 2 of the clip show. So he's doing a clip show as the next issue of Sonichu,
which I don't even know if that's considered to be a term for comic books. I kind of think it is not.
Clip show is like video stuff.
Right, because you can't do a clip of a comic.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you could post the images up. I mean, that's about it, but that's, like, the same thing, so...
I guess technically it's true. You could clip out, like, a picture from a comic book and put it on, like, a clipboard or something. I guess that's where the clip comes from, but still, that's not used, really, for comics. Because there aren't usually, like, recap issues like that. Which is probably why it's so hard to get into comic books for new people, usually. There's so much continuity and very little recapping. And then there's the other thing he released recently was the apology for previous homophobic comments that he released, where he said something like, the trolls made me think gay people are evil because some of the trolls were gay, or something like that. And then he's like, what? But now I'm identify with the homosexual community, and et cetera, et cetera. That was the one that you linked to the other day.
The video? Yeah, where he's just like, I don't even remember. Okay, hang on. I know, because I sent it to you, like, in a text chat or something. I'm not sure okay. I sent the video, and I was just like, Chris apologizing for being gay. I like how he asked CG. Oh, no, that was something else. But I thought it was, like, he was saying how, like, he went back in time or something to change, to retcon his comic.
Oh, yeah.
Better, like...
That was part of it, too.
That made no sense whatsoever.
Okay, so since I've actually read Slash 2, here's what happens. In the comic, he's, like, thinking that the homosexuals are trolling him, and so he goes back in time to before homosexuality happened, and he considered it to be, like, a disease at the time. So he came up with, a vaccine, and he, like, inoculated every human being at, like, the dawn of humanity or something to make them not be homosexual. And then now he's changed it, apparently. And when he releases the retconned version of the issue, it's going to be preventing a zombie apocalypse instead, which very original.
He said that, and I was like, dude, what are you talking about?
Yeah. There's never been any zombies in Sonic 2 before. Because it's always, like, very childish. And,
yeah,
I think the zombies would, like, be too grotesque or whatever, but it'll be interesting to see how he draws zombies. I think I might enjoy seeing some of his horrible characters rotting like that. And there's been no word from Love That Goku in months, so... Nothing to quote there.
He comes back. He's just kind of like, I mean, like, we all eventually hear from Love That Goku.
Yeah. He's probably down a well or something.
Trying to fight. Maybe it was just like, Wendell kicked me down a well, and then I punched the well, and I got out. Like, probably. That's something he would say. We're like, wait, what happened? How
did you live down there for months without eating?
Yeah. I punched granite, and it gave me iron to eat. No, that's not how it works.
He'd probably say he brought some senzu beans or something.
I found some beans in the well. Therefore, they must be senzu beans. I know that I was going to say some stuff in my last closing remarks, but one of the things, because I was telling Dory this on the car ride over to the convention yesterday, about how, so I'm getting into the story of the Lensman series, the novels.
Mm-hmm.
But my way of doing it, which is the easiest way, is the audiobooks. And I have been listening to the Triplanetary audiobook for like maybe 2 weeks or so. And I've got like 15 more minutes left of that sucker. And I realize that like audiobooks are like not the best way to tell a story if you don't read books a lot, because maybe it's just how Doc Smith, E. Doc Smith just writes his things, because I mean, first of all, it's science fiction, so it's going to be like. Here's like the way the audiobook works, because like you basically are reading everything verbatim for text, and then like you've got the guy that's doing all the voices of the characters and everything. I mean, like, he's not like that particularly great, but like at least I'm able to get into the story that way and kind of like think about like what I'm hearing and kind of map it out in my head. I'm like, oh, that's cool or whatever. But like the thing is like with Triplanetary, the first one, it's the fact that like there's parts of the book that this guy's reading, and it's basically like nothing but like minutes upon minutes of techno babble and like scientific, like this does this and he went to this thing and this ship warped this certain way. And there's all these like words to describe how detailed it is. And then I completely like just lose it. Like I just space out. I do not even care what's being said. Because it just, I can't retain that information, and I only like get sucked back into the story when somebody speaks or something, like when the narrator starts talking again, the character or the vessel to like say this other character's lines, but and I'm like, oh, okay, the story's moving along, okay, great, good, awesome, I don't need to know about how like your fake triplanetary science works in 1940s science fiction, whatever, Doc Smith. It's just so like long and drawn out and everything. And I realized I was just like, cause when I'm hearing the story, I am basically piecing things together and visualizing it like it's a movie because I'm used to seeing movies a lot and film and everything. So like, and I'm thinking about the film and the stuff I heard and putting together. And I'm like, okay, if they made Triplanetary into a film, here are some things I need to take out. Here are some things they could definitely add some more detail to it. And that's the way I'm looking at it in order to like basically kind of like if I tell someone the story, that's like the way that's like the best way to tell it. Like it, you know, like it's from a movie, even though it's from a book. And so like it's very interesting for me to get into audiobooks now. But then again, it's just like, well, it's the best way I can like enjoy a book without actually reading it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're listening to it, at least it gets you through the parts that are overly descriptive. Like, you might just put it down at that point if you're reading it.
I've been always wanting to get into it, but it's like I don't have the time to get into a story and read about it. During like the only free time I have is like listening to it over like my MP3 player. And that's like on my drive to school and everything, like, you know, five times a week. So like I'm able to get, you know, a book pretty much, you know, knocked out or whatever in like a couple weeks during that period of time. Because like I'm interested in the story and like what it's got to say and everything. So like that's what I'm really into. But in terms of like the scientific aspect of it, it's just kind of like way too much. But like then again, it's just like laughable, like, this is how they used to write things, and this is how people still write things now as being this descriptive, and some of it is just so unnecessary descriptive, because for me it's just like, okay, this guy walks here. Okay, well, that's all I need to know. But then it's like there's a detail of how the main character, Costakin, like, punches a robot in the face, and all the matter that, you know, like, goes out of it in, like, a matter of a second, which takes 5 minutes to explain what happens in 2 seconds.
Yeah. And that like, can be
oh,
overly
so
descriptive.
That's how books work.
That's definitely how sci-fi is at times.
It's just an interesting beast for me. So, but I figured once I'm done with Triplanetary, I'll just like, okay, well then there's First Lensman and whatever. And then there's like the Gray Lensman after that. So like I'll just put those on my phone and listen to it over a period of however long it takes or whatever. But, it's just kind of like just interesting for me. But like in terms of like telling a story, it's actually really good. So I enjoy it for being like a science fiction piece and everything. Like, you know, that's kind of like one of the foundings of science fiction of like the 40s and 50s and everything. I mean, I've still got like the Starship Troopers and audiobook to listen to and everything. So that'd be something I might do next. But I've always heard Starship Troopers. I mean, I have the book or I have one of the books or like the first one, but, one of the printings or whatever, but like it's basically like 80% training. And I hear that book is like dreadful to get through because like all they really do is train.
Yeah, the movie has probably made it more exciting.
Yeah, the movie gets straight to the action. They're in camp and training camp for 20 minutes of that movie, 15, 20 minutes. And then the rest of it is them shooting up bugs and aliens. So, yes, because, like, if you – because, like, there's certain – like, I don't understand why people, like – I guess now I've just kind of got a better understanding of why people do complain about, like, stuff not being from the books into the movies. But then you got to think of the aspect of, like, okay, you're a book nerd because this is how you understand the story. However, this cannot translate – to film or to cinema, because you have to cut stuff out and give people what they like, the cliff notes of it, in order to make it entertaining. Because visually, you can't explain the visuals from the book to film. It's a weird beast. I'm got a better understanding now, because like people are like, oh, the book's so much better, and like, yeah, okay, granted, the book is better, but in terms of film, you got to make it entertaining. You're adjusting it, and you kind of have to kind of like do a visual translation of it from what is written in the book of what you think to what the general audience may enjoy and accept easier than reading the book. That's kind of the way I take it. So like, and with Triplanetary, like there's some stuff in there that's like, this will look really awesome on film. However, like it's only certain parts are going to look awesome. The rest of it, they need to take out if it happens to ever be made into a movie.
Yeah, I mean, you can only adapt so much. I mean, you have to do some changes because it's just a different medium that works a different way.
Yeah, I mean, it's like those freaking Harry Potter nerds. I mean, like, they, you know, the books are so freaking huge, and they're like whine when like not everything's in a 2.5-hour movie. I'm like, it took you 300 hours to read the book, and you're complaining about how not everything from the book is in the movie. If they did that, every book to movie adaptation would be 6 movies long.
And the one where they tried to make it adapt more of it, like the final movies, were like the most boring movies because they tried to include more of the, you know, of the book, and it ended up being really slow paced.
You're talking about Harry Potter?
Yeah.
See, I've only seen the first 3 Harry Potter movies. Like, I haven't seen all of those. And, like, Dory is actually, like, she hasn't seen hardly any of the Harry Potter films. So, actually, our relationship works out pretty well. Because I'm not going out, I'm not dating a Harry Potter nerd. And I'm not being harassed because I didn't see every single Harry Potter thing out there, and I didn't read every single book. Because, like, there's those nerds, and, like, they're the ones that, like, if you try making fun of, like, how the movies and the books are compared to like your understanding, they just like sit there and like chastise you for it because they're nerds. And that's how passionate they are about Harry freaking Potter.
Yeah. I remember Tony was really opposed to the movies because they would cut stuff out.
Well, you have to, I mean,
that movie can only be so long.
Yeah. But then you got freaking Peter Jackson. That's basically, I guess in a way, he's putting in filler for, like, Lord of the Rings stuff. I mean, well, okay, not Lord of the Rings, but, like, The Hobbit, because The Hobbit was one movie that he stretched out to be 3 movies.
Yeah.
Being, like, 3.5 hours long each. It's just like, dude, it doesn't need to be this long. So, in a way, like, somebody is actually able to make movie cinema filler from a book. And it's adaptation.
Yeah, he dug out, like, the appendix or something for, like, all this extra stuff and then added in original characters and made it as long as possible.
I think somebody was talking about, I was on a forum, like, not too long ago, and I think we were talking about, like, maybe, like, anime movies to film. And maybe somebody brought up Ghost in the Shell, and they're like, oh, I think Peter Jackson would be a good director. And I'm like, no! Because I don't want to see, like, you know, I don't want to see, like, an anime film or something, like, being stretched out that long. It's like, the first Ghost in the Shell movie was, like, its own adaptation, its own, like, independent thing, and it's very good.
Who is it that's doing the live-action Ghost in the Shell?
I'm not sure if there's a director tied to it or not.
Okay.
Well, technically speaking, the Ghost in the Shell movie came from one of the manga chapters or sections of it or whatever. So
yeah,
it is adapting it, but it's adapting it to Mamoru Oshii's way, which, again, doesn't make it – it's not a bad movie at all. But I think, like, okay, if Peter Jackson wants to tackle an anime and adapt it to film, that's a long-running series. He's got Legend of Galactic Heroes to work with. That's his bag.
Yeah, that would be difficult.
Yeah, adapt the 110-episode OVA series over a decade into, like, 3 movies. Have fun with it. Oh, and then I have another, like, 500 hours worth of extra content to it while you're at it, because then you know you will.
Yeah. I don't know if it's even possible to add more content since it's already so long.
Yeah.
It would probably be dozens of movies or something.
Anyways, yeah, so that's our book corner discussion at the Anime Yesteryear podcast.
I guess that's it.
Did you see that I got that airsoft gun?
Oh, did you, like, tweet a picture of it?
Yeah, I put it up on Twitter not too long ago. Like, I got a GMP M16 that came with, like, a really nice Bushnell scope with it. So it's like a 3x9 zoom. And I basically am customizing it to be GoGo 13's M16. And I got to say, I'm doing a pretty good job with it. In the course of, like, the past 2 days. And to sum up that story, like, when I went to, I had, like, some financial stuff happen to me this past week. Last week was a long week, so I'm glad that's over. But, so I went out to this airsoft place near my school, and I bought, like, a high-cap magazine. But it's, like, the longer M16 mags, and I wanted the Vietnam style, the short ones. Then I got a charger from them. So then, like, Saturday I was out somewhere to kind of, like, sight in my scope and make sure, like the pellets fall where I wanted to shoot at and everything. And so I decided to go to this Army-Navy store that's in the town, and I kind of know the guy that works there. And I go in there, and I told him, like, what I got, and, you know, I was interested in, like, well, I bought it because I think I'm joining a group that's going to be starting it pretty soon. And he tells me, like, what he has for a magazine cap and everything. And I was like, well, that's definitely the magazine I want. And I told him what I got. So we wound up going to this house and trading. So I've got, like, the magazine that GoGo 13 uses for his M16. And, yeah, I'll definitely get a picture about it and everything so people can see it. But, like, on Twitter, I basically went, like, hey, anti-Twitter, I jacked this from GoGo 13. He ain't nothing now or whatever. But that was before I got the magazine with it. But now that I do, it's really cool looking. So I'm planning on joining an airsoft league soon, which is going to get me back into shape in some way, which is definitely something I need.
Yeah, that's cool for the GoGo 13 fans in the audience. They'll seeing that picture when you put it in the show notes.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it's also, like, I can also double it as, like, a cosplay gun. So, I mean, I'm definitely going to use it for its functionality, but also go to, like, conventions and I can pull off GoGo 13. So I might do that at, like, AWA next year or maybe Animazement or something. So we'll see. I just gotta dye my hair black, shave it, or get it really short, and I guess get some black marker and do eyebrows, and do like, and just have the facial features that GoGo 13 has, and I can't smile the entire time.
Yeah.
That's gonna be the hardest part. I can cosmetically try to pull off GoGo 13. I guess I can wear sunglasses because, like, I've got blue eyes and GoGo 13 is Asian with black eyes, so therefore that will not work.
But yeah, the sunglasses would, I guess, be GoGo 13 like.
Yeah, I think I can pull that off pretty well. So, and I can just walk around in a really nice suit and just, like, I mean, that's definitely a goal in mind, so. But yeah, like, I've been looking at getting an M16 for a while now, and I got a pretty good deal off of one on eBay, so. But yeah, that's kind of like my current thing in my life right now is getting an airsoft gun. That's GoGo 13's. Well, like, Tokyo Mari, they put out, like, they made an actual GoGo 13 airsoft gun a few years ago. It's really nice looking at everything. I mean, it's pretty much like the same thing as mine. Except for, like, the buttstock on the back of the rifle has, like, sort of a chin guard to it. And I'm not sure if I can buy – maybe I might be able to go to, like, a gun store and get, like, a chin rest or something for, like, an M16 or something. So Because I can pretty much cosmetically pull, like, make a replica of, like, what Tokyo Mari put out. And I'm about there, too, so. But I'll definitely send you the photo after this podcast, so you know what, so you can see what I've got.
I think you posted it in the chat, right, before you did the con?
Yeah, well, I know I posted it in there, I think, like, Wednesday or Thursday when I got it in the mail, so.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember that now.
But I'll definitely post up another photo again and then put it in the chat so you guys can see what it looks like now with the magazine in it. So
yeah,
this went on a whole lot longer than I thought.
Yeah, 2 hours. I guess so.
Well, I'd say we're done. So we need to figure out, like, when's a good time to record Ghost in the Shell, which I like it to be pretty soon, maybe this week or something.
Yeah, we do need to decide when to watch that. Do you have a time in mind?
Are you going to see the new Bond movie this Friday?
Oh, yeah, I should see that, too. Yeah. I guess we've got a lot of stuff to review.
Thank God, end of the year. Giving us so much to review. So, I mean, yeah, we'll definitely
this
like
time
a,
when
like
we review the Bond movie, we won't have Steve on here saying that it's not a true Bond movie because it doesn't have Sean Connery or Roger Moore.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Yeah, well, like, I'm definitely going to plan to see it with Dory on Friday because I told her about it and she was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, sweet. So we can, like, I can come in after the movie and be like, Josh, see James Bond, let's go review it right now. So I'm going to be once again having, like, all this backlog of audio recordings on my computer. And I'm like, all right, great. I got a ton of content to work with for the next 2 months. Between Ghost in the Shell, Gundam, James Bond, and our convention reports. So, and then I guess if I can get Richard Epcar on for an interview, like, that'll just be on the archives until I get to it.
Yeah, we've got quite the lineup of things to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's better to have more than try to fight to come up with content, so.
Yeah, at least we have some ideas as to what to do in the future episodes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm shooting to get, like, the con report and Ghost in the Shell out in the same month. So, like, last year, like, we only put out that Zabungle and Gasaraki review for November because I was so super busy at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I might be able to pull off some time for this month to get to at least like keep up with our bi-weekly thing. So we're good. We should be good with that. But yeah, I'm done talking.
All right. Well, I guess we've got our episode done here, and stay tuned next week or 2 weeks from now or whenever for Ghost in the Shell.
2 weeks from whenever this recording comes out, possibly.
Right. Unless we do something else in the meantime.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, we might as well shoot to get our Spectre review out in December or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We'll see.
Hey, we also need to plan and figure out to get do an origin story and how to set that up.
Yeah, that too.
See if we can get some people on the podcast to talk about chat life. I know, like, with Christmas break coming up, like, we can definitely get Josh and Daft on.
Yeah, they'll have more time with the break. Maybe we should do it then.
Okay, yeah, that'll be our third year Christmas special is talking about our backstory. Because we've been talking about doing a backstory for, like, 2 years at this point.
Yeah.
We just need to sit down and do it, and it just needs to happen, so.
Yeah, Josh has been going to the chats longer than either of us, so he would have some stories about the early days and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's it. We'll stop the recording.
Of healthy boys and girls like you. Keep tip-top. team, and a Titan salute to the astronauts of America and the cosmonauts of the Soviet Union. These daring men and women are proof positive of the importance of a healthy body. Circling the Earth at speeds over 17,000 miles per hour requires tremendous strength and endurance. You can be sure that regular exercise is an essential part of every space training program. Yes, adventure starts with good health.
Shape up with Titan. Shape up the Titan way. Keep tipped up with Titan. Grow stronger every day. Your country needs an active crew of healthy boys and girls like you. Keep tipped up with John. You there? He's probably coming back.